A sermon series called You're Invited, as we've looked at different parts of an invitation. We're concluding that today, and we're looking in a moment or two at John 14, 1 through 7. And that's found on page, I believe, 1535. We're going to read it a little later, though. Okay, as I've done each week in this series, I've invited a young person up front, and I'm going to do that again today. I don't have an invitation for them today, though, but Cohen Hollebeek, I think, is here somewhere. He's sitting way in the... Did you know this was coming, Cohen? Because you're sitting in the narthex, hoping I don't see you, right? Come on up here, Cohen. I think your parents might have snuck a little secret that I was going to call you up, okay? But look at this. Here, move out here a little bit. All right. You ever seen one of these?
No.
This is a road atlas. And you have never seen one of these?
Nope.
Excellent. All right. So, these are very, very old antiques. No, look at. This thing's been around for 100 years. Every year they throw a new one out there. Probably 2025 is already happening. It's probably out there. But I bought the 100th anniversary issue, 1924 to 2024. Do you believe it? 1924. When were you born?
2012.
You were born in this millennium. Okay, very good. Well, a road atlas is really cool because when you're traveling, you get to go to, let's say we're traveling to Georgia, and you get to look at all these roads. Can you see those? That's a lot of roads. Yes, those are a lot of roads. And look at this. Look at this. This helps with directions, right? Well, this says mileage. You know, look at that chart. You know how to read that chart? Mm-hmm. I can't read it because it's way too small for me to read. But but look at this. What does that look like? The United States of America, right? Do you see all the states? They're all outlined. So, for example, well, where would you like to go? What's your all-time favorite place to go?
Florida.
Any particular place in Florida?
No.
Okay. Well, should we say Disney World?
Sure.
Okay. So, here we are in Grand Rapids, and you'd have to kind of go this way over here, and then you'd get on 65, and you'd go through, what is that city? Indianapolis. You come on down here to Louisville, and then you'd get to Nashville. You're still on 65. Ooh, then you scoot over to 24, right, on 24, and you go to Chattanooga, you know, like choo-choo, you know. And then Interstate 75, you get on there. You go through Atlanta, and then down through Georgia, so long. Florida's even longer. And then here we go. You want 75, and you know where Disney World is, right? It's in that city. What's that city?
Orlando,
yeah. So then what's really cool is as you go through each state with this helping you with your directions, you get to follow along even more closely. So here we are. Look at, here's that 75 again. Yeah. You're going through here, and you're zipping along. Here you're on the turnpike, and you're paying all kinds of money to go on that. And then you're at Orlando. Do you see Disney World anywhere on there? You see it? Around here, it'd be in red, because it's a point of interest. You see it?
Oh, yep.
Yeah, there it is, right there, Walt Disney World. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
So you follow this along as you're driving, and you know, it gives you directions.
Yep.
There's one other thing. You know where the Super Bowl's going to be this year? Oh, I knew something more about football than you did. Wow. Okay, it's going to be here. You know what state this is? It's shaped like a boot.
Louisiana.
You got to kind of say it like that. And this is Nollins, right? New Orleans. Nollins, they say over there. It's going to be somewhere there. They're going to play that Super Bowl. So very cool. So this thing is so neat to travel with, and it'd probably be a good Christmas present for you. You're only one this year, okay? And you can take it with you on your next trip and things like that. But this is mine. I can't give it away. But it gives directions, okay? This book gives directions. Any other book that you can think of that gives directions? We're in church. The Bible. Yeah, the Bible, right? So here we go. It's the Bible, you know, and gives directions, a lot of directions. Exodus 20 tells us how we should live. We kind of heard that a little while ago. There's those Ten Commandments, right? And then in the New Testament, we hear all about Jesus. And in Revelation and in a lot of other places, we hear about heaven, right? Directions to heaven. So it gives all kinds of directions. The Bible's a great book for giving directions. So read it a lot, okay? More than that one, okay? All right, good. Thank you so much for helping me out, Cohen. You can go back to your seat in the narthex. Beloved in Jesus Christ, directions. A lot of people, this road atlas notwithstanding, a lot of people use GPSs to get from point A to point B these days if they need help with directions, right? And even if they don't, they like to know how many minutes it will be before they arrive at their destination. They want to know their ETA, want to know if there is construction to avoid, and so on. And with GPS apps right on the ubiquitous cell phone, they're awfully useful. They can also drive you crazy, no pun intended. Like when you're listening to your favorite song on the radio and your Bluetooth link device decides right at the favorite part of your favorite song to say something like, "You are still on the fastest route." And the song is just ruined for you as you were jamming away with it. Lots of stories out there about GPS mishaps. Some of them silly stories. Alan Willett of New York posted this story, actually, on the Geico West website. And this is not an endorsement of Geico there, Dave. So, okay, we good? All right. Mr. Willett and his daughter were visiting a college in Bangor, Maine. And after the visit, they had to take their rental car back to the rental car agency. Easy peasy, use GPS, right? Carefully, they followed every twist and turn GPS told them to. And when they pulled up to a local cemetery, GPS exclaimed triumphantly, "You have arrived at your destination." So before turning around, they actually got out of the car, went for a pleasant stroll together. It was a beautiful cemetery, father and daughter in that beautiful graveyard. There is also, I'm sure you can believe it, a dedicated Twitter page, now X page, with very funny comments people tweet out about their GPS fails. Their fails. Here are some of my favorites. Someone tweeted, "LOL, the number of turns I miss because my GPS overestimates my ability to comprehend 600 feet in a moving vehicle." Another, "Just missed an exit on 285 and the GPS went from 18 minutes to 42 minutes. Another, "Pretty sure my GPS has a slowest route function that is permanently selected." Another, "I love it when my mom fights with our GPS. Turn right at Olive Avenue. Mom's firm answer in the front seat, no, I will not." Another one, "My car's GPS has learned to say, your other left." And another one, "Do you think the husband of the GPS lady listens to her directions?" And finally, my favorite, it's a little bit longer. "So every birthday, we get my grandma a GPS because the woman gets lost every time she leaves the house, and every year she also loses her GPS. Well, today my mom was on eBay for something. Turns out grandma was selling the GPSs for the last 8 years." And she concludes, "Finessed by my own grandma." GPS helps us with our directions. We often need directions when we get wedding invitations. Sometimes, my wife and I did this, we included a quarter sheet handwritten Xeroxed paper map of the church and the reception hall to help people know where they were going. We included that in the invitation. That was my sole contribution to our wedding planning. Allison did everything else. The last few weeks, we've been talking about invitations. Maybe you're here because someone gave you an invitation. Someone invited you today. Great, fantastic. The invitation to come to a church is a good one. And of course, it includes an invitation into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're a church, after all, so that shouldn't surprise any of us at all. An invitation to a relationship of love with Jesus, with God. And that relationship includes a whole lot of things. Jesus says we can have forgiveness of our sins, that we can have everlasting life, two of the big ones. And there are a whole lot more things that God invites us to when we have a relationship with Him, a new way of living, to serve God first of all, and to love and serve others as we do ourselves. Well, today we want to know, I think, about the directions. How do we get to those things? How do we get there? It was a question that was on the minds of Jesus' disciples, His followers, way back 2,000 years ago when He lived on this earth. They wanted to know directions, just like we do, and they knew Jesus was something special. He did miracles, healed people, forgave people, even raised some people from the dead. He seemed to know everything about everyone. There was something remarkable indeed about this Jesus who was born just like all of us, born in Bethlehem and grew up just like we're all doing. But there was something remarkable about Him. When He would preach to and teach people, they hung on His every word. Who is this man who talks about forgiveness and eternal life and making things right again in a world that seems so wrong so often? They really believed in Him and wanted to follow Him to the ends of the earth. But every so often, when He spoke to His disciples, He would throw things in like, yeah, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you'll follow later. Or, you're going to have the light, referring to Himself, just a little while longer. Or, before long, the world will not see me anymore. And these things He had started saying, they started to come more and more frequently as if He would be going away fairly soon. Almost like He knew He would be leaving them soon and even dying soon, because He mentioned that too. So, listen to what now He says in the book of John. That's the fourth book of the New Testament in the Bible, God's Word, book of John, chapter 14, verse 1, page again, 1535 in those black hardcover Bibles in front of you. Here's what Jesus says to His close friends, to His followers, His disciples. We'll read those first seven verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really knew Me, you will know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, what is Jesus saying here? It's apparent that He's going to be going away. He's going to be leaving His disciples. And at least for the time being, the disciples, as much as they have been following Him around as His friends, as His students, if you will, they're not going to be able to go with Him. He's going to leave them behind. And they had all grown so close by this time that this is deeply troubling to them. They're going to be losing their best friend. They don't understand why or how, but Jesus has been right about everything when He talks to them. He's probably right about this too. But Jesus says to them, I don't want you to be troubled about this, about My leaving you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And He gives them this wisdom. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus, of course, knows he's not only a human being, he is also God. God the Son. God the Father's Son. Our Heavenly Father's Son. Also God. God the Father, God the Son. He tells them, you believe in God, God the Father? Believe in me too, God the Son. And then he says something amazing. My Father's house, what are we talking about? Well, heaven, right? Where my Father lives, heaven. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? So Jesus had already told them this at least once before, that at some point I'm going back to heaven and I will get things, your rooms, ready for you. And if I go back there to heaven to do that, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Are you kidding me? Do you realize what Jesus is saying? He's telling them, I want you to believe this. Believe this about me. You believe in God, believe in me, his Son, the Son of God. I'm going back to heaven where I was before to prepare rooms for you, and one day I'm coming back, and I'll take you back with me to be where I am. Whoa! Heaven. That place of sheer perfection where God lives, where no evil is allowed to enter, no sin, no crummy stuff that we have down here, where people will only find love and compassion and serving each other and wonderful adventure, but nothing bad. It's the ultimate antidote to everything that's wrong on this earth. Heaven is. Not boring, not the way it's depicted in movies, or a bunch of people sitting on clouds, you know, playing harps. No. Exploration, serving each other, caring about each other, learning, worshiping God. Heaven. And Jesus tells his disciples, I'll be getting things ready for you because your true home is in heaven. You believe in me, right? Believe this. Your true home is in heaven. Now imagine these disciples. They don't have a clue how to get there. Get to heaven? Can't jump. There's no staircase. How do you get there? He's talking about us being with God the Father, our Heavenly Father, our perfect, holy, majestic, royal Heavenly Father, the one who created the world, who holds the world in his hands, as if he'd want the likes of me there with him. There's no way. But Jesus, who always has been saying the truth to these disciples, hasn't been wrong yet, says, believe in me. When you do, you know the way. You've got the directions to the place where I am going. Well, Thomas, known as Doubting Thomas, because he doubts everything, he's like Mikey on the old Vintage Life cereal commercials. Let's get Mikey. He won't eat it. He hates everything. That's Thomas. But he doubts everything. He comes right out and says what the other disciples don't dare say. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Thomas is overstating the case a bit, but what he says makes sense. We don't know where you're going. Sounds like you're talking about heaven, but that can't be because we don't know the way there. But Jesus is talking about heaven. And he's telling the truth when he says, you know the way. And then Jesus drops the bomb on them and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And from now on, Thomas, you do know him and you have seen him. Because what Jesus is saying is that the Father and the Son are so united that when Thomas looks at Jesus and believes in Jesus, who's right in front of him, he is looking at God himself, the Heavenly Father himself, believing in him as he believes in Jesus. I am the way. There's your directions. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is who gets us there. He does it by, in just a few days from this passage in the book of John, Jesus dies for the sins of the world on the cross, takes the punishment for all those sins. Thomas's, the other disciples, yours, mine, takes the punishment. Then he's placed in a grave, dead. But in 3 days, he's resurrected, raised from the dead by his Father. He did the work of defeating sin in the world, paying for it, taking the punishment, and he did the work of defeating death in this world. Oh, there's still death, physical death. We die physically, but what makes you and me, goes on living and will go to be with Jesus in heaven. And Jesus says, the way to that, your directions, your GPS, if you will, is me, Jesus. You believe in me, and I've got your room prepared, and I'll take you to see it when you die. And you'll live there with me. That's the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to the true reality of eternal life. That's the truth. I'm the way. You're going to get there. I'm your GPS. I had this weird dream just 4 nights ago. In the dream, I was walking through our dark house, pitch black. Sometimes, this isn't the dream, but sometimes I get up in the middle of the night and I go through the house to get to the refrigerator. And I turn lights on ahead of me to get to the room I want to, and I turn them off behind me. So there is always light in front of me so I don't stub my toe or trip on a shoe that didn't get put away or years ago a Lego piece. Always light leading the way. But in my dream, well, I was doing that, but every time I hit a light switch, the wrong light came on. The wires were crossed or something. The light went on maybe 2 rooms ahead of me or in the room behind that I was just leaving. None of the switches worked for the right lights. I was so sad, so frustrated, even a little scared. And then, bam, you wake up, right? Crazy dream. Jesus is the way, the light that leads the way, always. The wires never get crossed. Jesus is the way, and he tells the truth in the Bible, in his word, a truth that tells us there is an eternal, everlasting life to come, and only he can lead us there, like a perfect GPS with perfect directions. And he simply says, believe in me, I'll get you there. Friends, I want to show you, it's going to come up on the screen in a little while, some of the truths that I believe that are straight from God because they are from the Bible, God's word to us. They are truths that lead us to heaven, to life eternal. Because Jesus made the way and is the way to life eternal. Jesus made sure the truth in God's word would direct us there. So those Bible verses, they're going to show up on the screen, and I'm going to go over something we call a gospel summary. I told you about it last week as those truths show up. Gospel means good news, some of you know. Good news about Jesus and what he did to make heaven available to us. So I'm going to give you that summary, and I've tried to memorize it so that it's a lot more on the tip of my tongue so that I can just spill it out as easily, for example, as my son can remember all the important plays that happened in a football game he just watched. He can retell me the game from memory. So I'll be trying to do that. I've been learning that in this little flip cards I have here to try to do that. And I hope if this is brand new to you that it will help show you the way. And if this is something you know very well, not exactly these words, but if this is this gospel, this good news is something you know very well already because you grew up in the church hearing all about it, I hope you'll want to learn something like this too. This comes from 222 Disciple, and you can ask me more about it if you'd like. But this good news, this gospel summary that shows the way, shows Jesus by saying the truth about Jesus and directs us to eternal life with Jesus. I'm trying to memorize it, so if I mess up, you please be gentle with me, all right? But I hope it's helpful if you've never heard it before and if you already know a lot about it. So it's segmented into three parts. Some of you will be familiar with this. There's a sin part that explains what awful things sin has done to us. But then there's a salvation part that explains how God saved us from our sins. And then a service part that explains how we now respond to that salvation. So you'll see and hear a few things about sin, and then a few things about salvation, and then a couple of things about service, and then after that, we'll close in prayer. So just so you know, if you're here as a visitor, as a guest with us, we'd love to have you come again, all right, to hear more about these things. And if you're really stuck on something that you hear today, talk to me afterward, or really to anyone who looks like they've been going here a while, they can help you. I can help you. Or if you need someone to pray for you about something, we can do that too. Okay, so here we go. We start with sin. As a result of the fall, every human being has a sinful nature and does not measure up. God has a problem with me because I do not measure up to his perfect standard. Although God created human beings good and in his own image, I have repeatedly broken his law, committing crimes, sins against him and others in my thoughts, words, and deeds. I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. And this wouldn't be such a big problem, but it is a problem because of who God is. God's nature. God is perfectly righteous and just. And this results in my punishment, namely death. This results in my punishment, namely death. Here's where I get stuck sometimes. Brian, you know what the next one is? God is righteous and perfect. So my sin is a barrier to his embrace. God is just and must punish me for every sin I have committed or will commit. The punishment is death, the eternal punishment of body and soul. So we think, maybe we can just fix it, right? I can just do better, do more good things than bad things. But good works won't work. There's nothing I can do to make myself acceptable to God. No matter how hard I try, no matter how religious I become. Actually, I increase my guilt because I sin every day, every single day. So the solution is totally out of our hands. That's the sin section. That's the bad news section. Here comes the good. We move into the salvation section. And when we do, we need to think once again about God's nature. God's not only righteous and perfect. God is loving and merciful. So he provided a substitute. In his love, God provided a substitute, someone to take the punishment for me. God did that for me. And again, here's where I get stuck. So I'm going to peek this time, okay, and not ask Brian, not put him in the spot. So no other creature could accomplish this task. So God the Father sent God the Son to be this substitute. But what's so great about Jesus? Well, Jesus is the perfect substitute because Jesus is truly human and truly righteous. He's fully a human being, and he lived a sinless life. Human nature, which is sin, must pay for its sin. But a sinner could never pay for others. So Jesus fits the bill. He's not only human, but he's a perfect human being. But he's also truly God. By the power of his divinity, only by that power could Jesus bear the weight of God's anger against sin, the sin in my life. So we're two behind. So go two, Jack. There you go, one more. Okay, so we don't only talk about God's nature, who he is. We also talk about what God did in Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died and rose again. God took all my sin, placed it on Jesus, and punished him for it in my place at the cross. Then Jesus died and was buried. He was in the ground dead to show he was truly dead. But in 3 days, he rose again from the dead, proving that my two great enemies, sin and death, have been completely overcome. And this guarantees my glorious resurrection too. Jesus did it all. God did it all. The salvation part sits by itself, that God did this. Jesus did this. So what do? Well, we move into the service section now, and we think about that. Jesus invites me to a new life. Jesus invites me to a new life through repentance and conversion. Jesus offers me forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. So by the Holy Spirit's power and by true faith, I trust in him and accept these gifts, receive them. So Jesus saved me from my sin and eternal condemnation to a new life lived with and for him. But he doesn't only give us a new life, he gives us a new mission. I am equipped by the Holy Spirit to do good works now. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is renewing me to be like himself, so that by my living, I might show God I'm thankful and praise him. By my good works, I'm assured of my faith by its fruits. I have faith, and there's good works to prove it. And also, he gives me a mission so that others may be won over to Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the good news. Bad, sin, us. Good news, Jesus did it. And we get to receive it and now live for him in gratitude, serving him. So simple. And Jesus tells us the way to that, that we know that, and Jesus does it. So we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to sing a song, and then we'll hear God's blessing for us, and then we're going to enjoy cookies together in the room right next to this one. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have shown the way through Jesus Christ. You've shown us salvation. You've shown us that Jesus died for our sins and rose again for our eternal life. Thank you for taking all our sins, shortcomings, our failures. We know we're not perfect. Otherwise, we'd have that gospel summary and we'd say it perfectly instead of messing up twice. Lord, you take all our failures, especially all our sins, and place them on Jesus, who took them and bore the punishment for them. And we're so thankful that you show us the way in your word, that Jesus is the way. Thank you for that. Thank you for providing the directions we so desperately need in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.